Hello, welcome to Inside the Weight Room, a podcast where we talk about everything to do with the fitness industry, whether that's social media influencers to training regimens. We cover everything on this podcast for beginners and experts. Join us on this journey as we interview many different individuals regarding their training experiences, opinions, and many, many more. So sit tight and enjoy the podcast. Hello and welcome back to Inside the Weight Room. Here with me today is Ewan Anderson. How's it going, Ewan?
I'm going well. Thank you very much. So I've been lifting for 3 years. Hopefully can provide some interesting insights to the world of weightlifting.
Nice. What type of training would you say you're like dedicated to out of the many, many different types?
So I would say I would actually say I've dabbled in, you know, if someone says the gym, they're thinking of usually one of a few things. It's bodybuilding, powerlifting, or CrossFit, and some people include the fourth one, which is strongman, right? And I would actually say I've dabbled in bodybuilding, powerlifting, and strongman. The bulk of my time has been dedicated to bodybuilding, just putting on muscle. I've had phases where I have dedicated a lot of my time and attention to getting stronger on the squat, bench, and deadlift. So technically that is powerlifting training. And obviously now I'm signed up for a strongman competition, so I'm now training that a little bit.
Nice. So what are the plans for the strongman competition?
You know, I mean, it's a first timer's show. No one's expecting any world class performances from me, so I'm gonna go and have fun. And see how it goes. It looks like I'm fairly well built for it. I'm a taller person. I'm on the taller end of the scale, over like 6'1", 6'2" maybe. And my deadlift is a standout lift for myself, which translates very well over to the world of strongman, where you need a very strong back. So I'm hoping to actually get a decent performance despite being very, very untrained in strongman. But yeah, the plan for that is to go to the gym every once a week, every other week, try my hand at the lifts, the Atlas Stones, the log press, and see where I can get before the show, which is in July, so not too long away now.
Okay, because obviously with one of the previous episodes with Thomas Ryan, obviously you spoke about him, about his strongman training, and we managed to get quite a good insight from him about why he wanted to do strongman, and a lot of it was down to like fundamental strengths, you know, like very functional. What was the reason between switching from bodybuilding to strongman? Because obviously you got bodybuilding competitions, so how come you made that switch?
So bodybuilding is a really rough sport, right? I feel like it doesn't get the recognition it deserves for how horrible it is to do both ends of the spectrum, which is like a bulk, like an off season, as well, a bodybuilder would call it, and a prep or for the show. But both ends are horrible, right? And so I've actually done a huge bulk there. I've bulked for 2 years. I put my body weight from 80 kilos to 110. So I've paid my dues. on the off season side of things. I hopefully won't do that again. I probably will. I think the time for that sort of thing is when you are in your early 20s, maybe mid late 20s. I don't think you should do extremely aggressive bulks and cuts like that when you're into your late 30s, 40s. I think maybe you should taking a more health focused approach. So I actually have type 1 diabetes, right? Which means if I have a low blood sugar, I have to eat something. I have to eat carbs. I don't have a choice. So doing a prep where you have to get into the single digit body fat territory, which is already insanely hard, would be double hard for someone like myself. So that's why so far I've never done, or I've never planned to do, a bodybuilding prep. I want to try everything, right? I want to try competing in everything. But I understand that it's that thing of the jack of all trades and master of none. At some point, you have to choose one. At some point, you're not going to be able to make progress on all three or all four.
That's true,
But
yeah.
yeah, that's why I've started to go towards the strongman side of things, because realistically, I would probably be in the heavyweight weight class, which basically means you can be pretty fat. Not out of shape. Strongmen are actually some of like the fittest guys out there, despite being up in like the 140 kilo range in body weight. Those guys are really, really fit.
I mean, one
So
example
it's
could
not
be
like it's
like,
an easy alternative.
yeah, I mean, one example could be like American football players. Like, if you look at, say, the linebackers, they're absolutely huge, yet they're extremely athletic despite having that big build.
I would agree to a point. Obviously, American football, as far as I'm aware, is a 60-minute match broken into 4 50-minute intervals, right? So you don't have to, like rugby, for example. I would argue rugby is one of those sports where like the athletes are the most strength and conditioned athletes I've seen across any sport. Obviously, marathon runners are more conditioned and powerlifters are more strong, but the rugby players have got that insane balance of they are extremely fit and extremely strong. But yeah, that's a good point. The American football players, some of them are like up in the 160 kilo sort of range, and they are actually running at full speed and not getting injured and gassed immediately.
Like stuff like American football, obviously, I've seen a video. I think it was like 2 days ago of the pre-season type training styles that they do to see, when it comes up to the draft. And there was this guy who repped out 100 kg. I think it was like 34, 35 reps, and
The
that just
combine.
off, yeah, that's it, yeah. And that just shows the extremeness of the
Yeah, they
strength.
are very strong.
I mean, so when it comes down to the strongman training, obviously, you've got the different types of builds that you can have. And obviously, when it comes to competition day, do you think there's going to be a much of a difference from you now till then? Are you expecting much of a change or?
I so yes, to answer it simply and to answer it not so simply. So obviously I bulked to 110. That bulk ended around Christmas and I started cutting since then. I'm now down to 95, so I'm a lot leaner and a lot healthier now. I've lost the most minuscule amount of strength, which happens when you shift, 40 pounds off your frame. But yeah, I think between now and then, ideally I'd cut for another 8 to 10 weeks, and obviously on the reverse out of a cut, you tend to very rapidly gain any strength you lost and also soar past that and get a lot stronger than you once were. So I'm hoping that when I start bulking again, I can ramp up the strongman training, maybe go 2 or 3 times a week until the show. That will give me a lot more skill specific practice, and with more food, it will just be a better alternative. Cutting while trying to do brutal, grueling strongman training is not, it's not fun because it sucks, and also it's probably not very productive because you're burning hundreds of calories and also you're attempting to lose weight and under recovering most likely.
Yeah, and I guess when it comes to competition day, obviously you want to make sure you're hitting your weight class as well to be able to compete in that.
So
Because I know.
there actually isn't a weight class for this show.
Okay.
But it's interesting you should mention that because yeah, strongman historically has been the giants, right? The show is called Giants Live. There's no weight cap for the super heavyweights, the six, the, you know, your Brian Shaws and your Hafþór Björnssons, your 6 foot 8, 200 kilo guys. But I feel like that's what grew the sport because it's so rare to see someone that size, full stop, never mind that size, who has dedicated their whole life to the pursuit of strength. But now in strongman, the weight classes are becoming more popular. The under 90s and the under 105s are like really competitive weight classes. You cannot just show up and, try your hand at it. You will come dead last. So the weight classes are actually very competitive now.
Okay, because I know with Thomas, he was worried about when like making his weight class, but obviously ended up not being able to do the competition. So I do find it interesting how, even though obviously you're not prepping in terms of cutting, say for a bodybuilding show, you've still sometimes got to make weight Like, if it's becoming a lot more common now, you're gonna make that weight still
I
while
mean,
keeping the strength there as well.
that's kind of in every sport. I mean, the biggest, not to go too off topic, but the biggest culprit of that would be biting,
Yeah.
right? The 80-kilo guys actually weigh 100 kilos. The 60-kilo guys actually weigh 80 kilos. In my opinion, that's a little bit suspect. It's not. I think to curb that, all you need to do is have same day weigh-ins, and then people can't deplete 40 pounds of water off their frame and carb back up for 3 days, and
Yeah.
then fight at 40 pounds over the weigh-in. In powerlifting, of course, this happens as well. I wouldn't say as badly, because in powerlifting, you need the one rep max. It's a very specific strength that you need. You need to be able to pull a one rep max, which conditioning wise is not very difficult to do a 10-second rep. But to output 100% of your central nervous system's force, you kind of need to be in good condition. You can't have lost and gained 15 kilos of water in the last 5 days. If it's the same day weigh-in, again, if it's multiple days before, like they do for strongman, you can get away with that. But I think water cutting is very ingrained in any weight category specific sport now. It's just, you won't be competitive if you show up a 95 kilo lifter, and you're looking around and you're like, okay, I'm the shortest, smallest guy here. How is this possible? We all weigh the same. So, no, actually, everyone else was 15 kilos lighter 2 days ago, and now they've gained it all back today. So I think that needs to be looked into at the very least.
Okay. Because that is obviously down to, I guess, how the events work and how it's all I guess determined by the referees or the judges and all that type of stuff. Obviously that raises questions for them, whether it needs to be a bit more stricter or whether it needs to be changed. But obviously for the newcomers, I don't obviously really understand all this type of stuff, obviously, like competition day. What would you say is the best way to get into, say, like a strongman, being as you've made that switch from bodybuilding to strongman?
So strongman is one of those sports where it's pretty brutal, because usually the weight is selected for you. You don't get to show up on the day and say, I'm too weak for this 80 kilo log overhead press, I want to do 70. They won't let you do that. It's part of the rules of the event is, for example, for 75 seconds, you need to do as many reps as possible over the head with an 80 kilo log. That's the event. You don't have a choice. So for strongman, you do need that, at the very least, that base level of strength to compete. It's not a level of strength that will take you decades to get to. We're talking 2 or 3 years training for most people. Do good dedicated training for most people that are starting from just a normal point. Obviously, if you are severely under or overweight, you could be longer trying to get to a point where you're fit and strong enough to do the things that are required by strongman. But I think that's why powerlifting is growing so much in popularity. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's because an untrained lifter, for example, could show up on the day, and as long as they pay the entry fee, they will let you attempt a 30 kilo bench press, right? You're allowed to select the weight that you try. I feel like that's why powerlifting is a very beginner friendly option. So I think if someone was like, I would say it's good to get your powerlifting day, your show booked. I think that way you take training a lot more seriously than if it wasn't booked.
Yeah,
Do you
because I
get
guess you
me?
got that mental preparation of like, oh, I need to start training because it's coming soon,
You
or
have a
it's a
date in
certain day.
mind, and yeah, people are going to see it, and you don't want to show up on the day, waste your money, waste your day, and you're totally unprepared, and people are like, what the heck was that? He just went up there and failed, a whole lot of nothing. And bodybuilding is similar to strongman in that you need a base level of muscle mass, but more importantly, you need to be very, very lean, which is very difficult. I feel like most people are not, people talk about the IFBB pros, that's your top bodybuilders, the huge lean guys that are on loads of steroids. I feel like the average natural lifter is actually not far away from that muscle mass wise. They just won't ever look like that because, number one, they won't ever get that lean. And number two, they do not have the amazing insertions and muscle bellies that these guys have genetically. That's not something you can train. It's, like Arnold's chest. It's not something you can train to have two huge slabs of meat on your upper torso that are like hanging down to your whole like upper torso. So yeah, powerlifting is a much easier option for a beginner friendly. I want to go in the gym and I want to book something for 2 months away, so I take it really serious.
I think that actually leads us like perfectly into the next point, which is with like what you just mentioned about how in bodybuilding especially, obviously you got the very unique circumstances of genetics taking a massive toll onto certain things. Do you think social media's had an influence on that for like a good or a bad way? Because I'll give an example. I started going to this gym with Thomas, and I seen this mural on the wall, and it was this guy absolutely shredded. And I just said to Thomas, I was like, the thing that really annoys me is that's competition ready, cut, like watered down, completely dieted, barely any water in his system, and yet that's on the wall in a gym where people are gonna go, I want to look like that, but it's not realistic and it's not healthy. Do you think social media has had a big impact, or do you reckon there's any other influences there?
So I'd like to touch on what you said about the genetics playing a huge role. Remind me about the actual original question after I'm done my rant here. The thing with genetics is people say it's a huge deal for bodybuilding, which it is, but it's actually a huge deal with everything, right? You knew a kid in school who got all A's without trying. That's genetics, and you knew a kid who, despite trying very hard, didn't get great grades, or maybe even failed absolutely everything despite his best efforts. So it would stand to reason to assume that that is the case with everything in life. The existence of someone like Brian Shaw, who's 6'8", and the existence of someone, I don't know a name, but there are people who are 4 foot tall out there. And so the existence of two people on the extreme end of the genetic spectrum like that would imply that the genetic spectrum for anything like how fast you can run is also huge and vastly different. So genetics is important with everything. You will not become the best at anything, even like chess or F1. You're not going to become the best at that without the genetics to do that. But I think hard work can get you easily into the upper echelons of the sport. Even if you don't have great genetics, you're just never gonna be. You're never gonna be Ronnie Coleman, to make it specific to bodybuilding, or you're never gonna be Brian Shaw because you just don't have it. You don't have it at all. But you, for example, not you specifically, but someone who just works in an office, he can be the biggest, strongest guy in that office. Or maybe he can be the biggest, strongest guy at the strongman gym. Maybe he's got actually pretty good genetics, just not good enough to be the best. But sorry, to go on to the social media point. I think it depends. I think as a whole, the gym tends to, from what I've seen, attract extreme personality types. Do you get what I mean by that?
Because I think you do get those, the odd ones that stand out, the ones that standing out have got those personality traits that are a little bit odd or not considered the norm.
But I think even in general, people that just go to the gym casually, or they go 5 days a week, they're usually an outlier mentally. Usually people that are quote unquote normal don't go to the gym, or they maybe go Monday and they taper off by Saturday and then they restart the next week. The person who's like going, spending 15, 20 hours a week in the gym is usually not normal, to put it in that sort of way. They're not usually mentally just completely grounded. I'm not saying all of them aren't, but so I think having, like, for example, you have Dorian Yates up on the wall in the gym. I feel like for those personality types that are dedicated to the gym, I think I can't see it discouraging someone like that. I could only see it motivating them, but I get what you mean. And also, to make it specific to the huge bodybuilder on the wall, most people don't want to look like that, right? I know a lot of bodybuilders probably walk around thinking they look amazing, which to a lot of people they do, but most people don't want to look like your Ronnie Colemans, your Jay Cutlers, your
That's true.
huge famous guys with millions of followers. Most people look at that as like a spectacle. They're like, you know, what is that and how did that happen? Rather than I want to look like that. You have more people like Chris Bumstead and Arnold who are the I want to look like that people. But yeah, social media, sorry to get onto the actual point. So I don't think it's great that you can go on social media and no matter how impressive you are, there's a 13-year-old who's done it better than you. I don't think that's great for your mental health. Just to see the unbelievable talent pool that's out there and where you lie in that spectrum. It's just by nature, it's very unlikely that the you are the guy who's very impressive. Because if everyone was impressive, then these guys wouldn't get thousands and hundreds of thousands of views on Instagram reels and TikTok and things. So I think it would be hard to quantify is the social media presence in the gym a net benefit or net, you know, detriment to most people's mental health. I certainly think social media got more people in the gym. I think the gyms are the busiest they've ever been actually because of social media. I think it's easy to say that. And
So I
whether that's
think,
because
I think obviously you got the point of just social media in itself wanting to appear a certain way. So when you go to the gym, you want to look your best, and no matter what your intentions are from going to the gym, you want to look your best. So when you post a picture, it's like you're looking big or you're looking a bit shredded or whatever it may be. There's a lot more, I guess, like say influences at work, or reasons for doing such things like appearance, etc., or just to like just to say you go to the gym as well. I see, as I think a lot of people that go to the gym do see, you see a lot of people that go there, or even some mates where you go with them and they're not really that arsed, and it's like you can tell they're only really going there to say, "Oh, I go to the gym," but you go to the gym, but you don't really do now. Type of you know that side. There we go. So yeah, so moving on to a bit more personal directed stuff towards your lifestyle. In terms of supplements, what type of stuff do you take? What would you recommend people taking that are, say, just starting out or changing over from, say, bodybuilding to strongman type stuff?
So supplements, I'm gonna start with non performance enhancing drug supplements, obviously. No beginner needs anabolics or performance enhancing drugs, full stop. So obviously you've got your creatine, right? Everyone knows creatine. Everyone should, even people who don't lift should take creatine. There's been studies that say it's amazing for brain health and preserving brain health and all these things, and there's so far been no recorded downsides. Obviously there was one study done on rugby players that said it increases your DHT levels, and if you know what DHT is, it binds to your hair follicles and you go bald, right? That's why men go bald over time. I would say on that, obviously that's a big concern for a lot of men. Okay. To say that that isn't a concern for a lot of men would be ludicrous. So I would say if you're genetically predisposed to go bald, there isn't a lot you can do in the way of preventing that anyway. But I would say certainly it's worth a try. You know, these days there's loads of alternatives. The main ones being like minoxidil and finasteride and things. Although I don't think it's great to immediately hop to a chemical solution for that sort of thing. But no, I just thought I would throw in the one documented downside about creatine monohydrate. But that is a point people bring up when they say you should take creatine. So other supplements, I take vitamin D. I live in the UK, Scotland. You know, we do not get much sun here. I think I take 8,000 IUs of vitamin D3 a day, which is just two pills out of like a regular thing. And you want to make sure you're buying ones that are D3 and K2. If you take too much D3 without K2, it can mess with your liver. It can mess with your organs, essentially. You don't want to be taking a lot of D3 and no K2. Although that's getting very, very into like the niche technical things. If you live in a very sunny country, like let's say you live in Turkey, probably for like 9 months of the year, you don't need any vitamin D supplementation. Maybe in like the darker months you need some, but you probably are going to be fine from the amount you're getting for the rest of the year. Obviously, another supplement, magnesium. I cannot say with concrete certainty that I have experienced a huge difference. What I can say is I've felt like my sleep has been a lot better when I take two magnesium tablets a day right before I go to bed. I don't know. Do you know Jordan Peters, the bodybuilder?
I can't say I
He's
do
got a
know.
brand called TBJP, Trained by JP.
I can't say I know
Okay, well he's got a supplement brand, right?
that.
So obviously he's going to now and try and tell you need these supplements and you need to take this amount so that you buy more. But he has a very good source of information on that. And he claims that he took in the region of like 10 magnesium tablets a day and like 50,000 IUs of vitamin D a day or something like this. Which I thought that is insanity, but he is such a huge bodybuilder that it just might be necessary for him to do that.
And I
But I
think
would say it's
especially when
person
you're
dependent.
bigger. Yeah, but I
Oh
think
yeah,
when
I
you're
mean
maybe bigger, that's when you need that little bit more.
when you are so huge that the 1% are making a big difference, then yeah, you need more. I do take one more supplement. Oh, ashwagandha. I don't think that's a gym thing. I just take it and I've found that I'm generally less stressed. There's not much other differences there. Stress, although it is a huge factor in the gym, if you're constantly walking around, you're constantly stressed, I can't see you making great gym progress. And I'm actually being serious when I say that. I think it's a hugely overlooked, hugely important thing for the gym. And just lifestyle in general, right? No one wants to be stressed out all the time. Your sleep will be better,
I think as well when it comes to gym, the mental health side of it and the just the mental push of going to the gym as well is also as important as just going to the gym because obviously, if you're not getting enough sleep or good enough sleep, that's going to affect your recovery and your overall ability to like you say, to train. So you need to kind of be looking after that type of stuff. But it's quite interesting that you brought up a couple of supplements that we haven't yet talked about, which is serious. But yeah, moving on to the last little segment. In terms of going to the gym, what is one of the like maybe a popular opinion that you disagree with, or an unpopular opinion that you do have about the gym itself, or just gym culture.
I mean, my whole thing with my problem with the social media gym culture is the like one or the other, or like there's a best way to lift. I think everyone, we've kind of already touched on this, everyone needs to do their own thing that works for them. I don't think anyone out there is going to be able to be told how to grow the best by someone else. Especially not some guy who's posting on Instagram that you're an idiot for doing one leg day a week rather than two, which is just something silly like that. There are people who are arguing in TikTok comment sections about that religiously. It's like kind of the science-based lifting discussion. I think that term has been over pop culture due to because Jeff Nippard was. He got extremely popular out of nowhere. And again, this relates to what we said earlier. Beginners want to be told what to do. So they're like, well, science-based, how can science be wrong? But the thing is, if you ask the biggest, most jacked, shredded guy what his routine is, he's just going to tell you, I come in and I lift heavy, I eat a lot of food, and that's it. He's not going to have any idea about science-based lifting, most likely. There are outliers, obviously. But yeah, I think for more advanced trainees, not like your huge guys, but the guys that go for a couple years. You know what progressive overload is, right?
Yes, yeah.
I get just getting stronger essentially. I feel like people get progressive overload anxiety. I've seen that in a lot of people.
Yeah.
They don't add a rep. They just say they do 100 kilos on the bench for 3 reps last week, and they don't add a rep this week, and they did 103 again, and they get upset and they get annoyed and they change their program and it all goes to hell. I think it's more complicated than that, because I don't think the question has really been answered of like, does hypertrophy, as in does your muscles growing make you stronger, or does getting stronger cause hypertrophy and make your muscles grow?
Yeah.
When you pose that question to someone, obviously hypertrophy is a goal and a progressive overload is a training methodology, so it's not the same comparable thing. But it's like an interesting question to ask yourself when you say, as long as you've taken your muscle to a failure of some kind, or you've taken your body to a failure. Let's say you do deadlifts, but you do 100 reps. You can no longer go because you're completely out of breath, not because your back isn't strong enough.
Yeah.
Your body's going to adapt to that. It
Yeah.
failed due to your cardiovascular limitations. So as long as you're training hard in some way, you're fine, you know. And I don't think supplements are going to make a huge difference until the end of the line training, which by that point you will know what to do with everything yourself anyway.
Yeah, and I think with supplements as well, they're there to supplement the what's already there. It's like
Exactly.
protein
It's like,
powders. If you're having a protein shake, it's probably because you haven't hit your protein. Like say goals for that day, so you increase it with it, or if you think you're not going to, then it's like assistance there.
I mean,
So
supplements, yeah, it's like decorating the inside of a building. You need a building in the first place, you know.
yeah,
You so you need your hard training and you need your good food. If you
100%.
have those things, you it's hard to go wrong. So that's what I would have to say about that.
Well, I think that's a pretty good place to end it.
Okay, cool.
Thank you very much for coming on this podcast. It's been a very interesting chat.
Yeah.
Definitely different to the other chats I've had as well.
Okay, that's good to hear.
But yeah, well, thank you very much for coming
No
on.
worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Weight Room. We hope you enjoyed this episode and hope you join us in our journey with interviewing many, many more guests with many different experiences and opinions. New episodes are out every single week, so I hope you stay tuned. Thank you very much.